This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we're almost done with the week, and it's going to be an incredible show tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I might do something I don't know that I've ever done before. I might call for a new law. Ooh, I kind of feel dirty. Nah, I probably won't, but I might. I might come close. We'll talk about that. That's going to have to do with the left-wing dark money network. We're going to talk about young men. There's a new poll out and their rejection of the Democrat Party and why. We will talk about the communists defending every inch of ground they gain, sometimes to a fault. But why do they do that? We'll talk. The Epstein stuff apparently is not going away. We'll get to that in a little while. ICE is already improving America's emergency rooms, all that, emailed, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I'm going to begin doing the show tonight doing something I don't think we've ever done before. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, about a celebrity death. Now, Chris has already given me a funny look. Chris, have I ever done that before? Chris said, I didn't think so. Hulk Hogan died at 71. Now, let me pause for just a second and explain why I have never done this before. This is very rare. Why I'm doing it now. So first, I don't do a lot of pop culture. It's not because I'm above it all or something like that. I'm just not interested in that. You know that I'm 44 going on 84. I don't really watch a lot of TV. The movies just make me mad now anymore. You came and take the kids to a freaking cartoon without a couple dudes making out. So I've just kind of become this crotchety old man who's really walked away from a lot of modern pop culture. I don't even watch a lot of sports. Baseball, I've gotten into like an old man, walked away from everything else. It's just, that's who I am now. And therefore, when, you know, there's a celebrity divorce or a big death in music or something like that, it's just not something I care enough to talk about. It's not that it doesn't matter to the family, but it's generally just not something that I care about. I have other interests. But I want to talk about entertainment in general. Entertainment. You know how we talk about how there are pillars that hold up every society, no matter its size? There are pillars. The religion, the government, the entertainment. Entertainment in a society of any size has always been there because it's important. If I was to put you in a time capsule and send you to the Asian steppe centuries ago, and you were to go gather around with the Huns in one of their little nomadic villages, you would find they have a form of entertainment, probably several forms of entertainment of some kind. Maybe it's a dance or a play or a performance of some kind. Huge nations have entertainment. Why? It's not only so people can kick back and put their feet up and relax and enjoy a baseball game or something like that. It's not only that. It serves two critical forms. It's why entertainment is a critical pillar in a society. One, it brings people together. It helps create a cohesion in society. It's why the communists actually took over professional sports. Why? When I was a child, the NFL or something like that would never have been political, would never have even thought about taking a political stance on the right or the left. Well, the communists can't have that because it brought people together. Hey, we're all going to gather around today and cheer for the Browns or watch the Browns lose. You understand what I mean? Well, the communists can't have people coming together. So they worm their way like the parasites they are into the professional sports offices. And soon you wake up one day and Black Lives Matter is painted on the end zone. And now instead of bringing people together, it divides them. No, screw you. No, take it up. Divides people. So it creates good entertainment, creates a cohesion in a society. And there's another part of it. And maybe this part will make you cringe. Maybe you'll wince a little bit. It does help give us a moral guidance. That's its purpose. It's a huge purpose for societal entertainment. Greek mythology. You know much about Greek mythology? Of course, everyone, you at least know what I'm talking about. Gods and demigods and Hercules and Odysseus and all that. You know generally what I'm talking about. Well, it doesn't exactly take a brilliant scholar to read through the mythology and set fact or fiction aside. These are lessons that are being taught to the Greek people about bravery, about dishonesty, about this, about that. They're lessons taught to people. The story of Icarus and flying too close to the sun, these are lessons taught to people. We get moral lessons from our entertainment. Do you want to know something about me? This is going to make you probably laugh and roll your eyes. I'm just being honest here. Do you know a huge part? I don't know if I'd say huge, but definitely a part. No, I would say huge. A significant part in my worldview, who played a significant part in it? Morality, bravery, right, wrong. John Wayne. I grew up, we didn't watch a lot of movies. My dad certainly wasn't into many of them, but my dad loved John Wayne movies. I, because my dad loved them, you want to do whatever your dad's doing, I grew up watching John Wayne movies. You name it. The Cowboys, Big Jake, The Searchers, El Dorado, the Alamo, Green Berets, Sands of Iwo Jima. I could go down the list. I've seen them all. I've practically memorized them all. I know it sounds stupid and ridiculous. Maybe it is, but I grew up watching on the screen, this is what a man is. A man fights for what's right. A man fights against evil. He protects women. Sometimes you have to give your life for it. You might be rough and tough and you don't whine and you don't cry. I learned, I was guided by John Wayne movies. Entertainment matters. In the 1980s, professional wrestling was huge. I know it's fake. I got all that. I don't expect you to be a fan. I don't care if you are or aren't. Doesn't matter. Hulk Hogan. Everyone knew who he was. My mom knew who he was. And Hulk Hogan was obviously a performer. It's what he was. But he exemplified what our entertainment used to be when I was a kid. And I'm not trying to do the back in my day thing. I'm really not. Because there's good and bad about the old times, good and bad about today. But I grew up in a time where our top entertainers, they would get on stage, whatever stage it was, the movies, or in Hogan's case, the wrestling mat with a big American flag and sing songs like, I'm an American. And it was awesome. It was ridiculous and it was over the top and it was patriotic and it was fun and it was awesome. And I respect it. And let's not forget the legendary moment where the Hulkster, just last year, showed up at the RNC and blew the roof off the place.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero and they tried to kill the next president of the United States? Enough was enough, and I said,
patriotism was cool. And a lot of that is, a lot of that was led by what our entertainers used to be. Not crapping on this country all the time, apologizing for it. America sucks. None of that dark cloud hung over us. There was a time, not that long ago, where our entertainers would wave American flags, and even in the most ham-fisted, over-the-top fashion, they would wave them and tell the whole country it's good and right to be proud to be an American. And again, I'm not trying to do a back-in-my-day thing, but I miss that. I do. Today we get Pedro Pascal and little fruitcakes like that. We used to have Hulk Hogan, Sylvester Stallone, and it was awesome. So rest in peace, Hulkster. Appreciate that very much. Let's move on. Talk about some politics. Let's talk about dark money. Let's talk about things that are free, like Hillsdale. Hillsdale handing out wisdom, handing out education for free. I honestly don't understand why they do this. Hillsdale is not hurting for anything. There's a line around the block, people trying to get into Hillsdale, trying to get their kids into Hillsdale because they don't want to send their kids off to communist universities. So Hillsdale's not hurting. But because they're not hurting, they've decided to hand out their wisdom for free to people. More than 40 free online courses. You go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse. You can get educated by Hillsdale. Your children can. You can do this as a family. Do this while you're driving. Get smarter. I need it. Lord knows Chris needs it. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, the wonderful Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And before I forget, you know what tomorrow is? Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get all your Ask Dr. Jesse questions emailed in right now. You're falling behind. The stack is already growing. All 3 hours on Friday belong to you. And whatever you want to talk about, doesn't even have to be political. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Actually, before I get to the dark money thing, I wanted to address an email, as a matter of fact, because it's a fascinating email. It's a fascinating topic. And here's what the guy said. Dear tiny-handed cheetah slayer, it's not very nice. As a longtime listener, I've heard you talk previously about the evils of the legacy media. Can you please explain to us fellow community college numbskulls in simple terms why they continue to serve as propaganda outlets for the left? What is in it for them? What do they gain? All right. So let's talk about this. The legacy media. Why are they so all in for the left? No matter what, why are they so all in? And let's talk about something here. It's recent news. Let's tie in a recent news story with this because it's fascinating. Colbert. You don't care about Stephen Colbert. Neither do I. I'm not talking about that. But he's the late night guy. Took over for Letterman. This legendary late night comedy show. He takes over for David Letterman. Maybe you're a Letterman fan. Maybe you weren't. But whenever my mom wasn't watching, I would turn it on if I was up too late. And it was just funny jokes. It was a bunch of funny jokes. Maybe some inappropriate things in there. But it's funny jokes. Why would you take over an institution like that and go so hardcore left, so hardcore partisan? And maybe you're just saying, well, Stephen Colbert is a communist. And of course, that's true. But remember, Stephen Colbert is an employee. He's an employee for CBS. That show needs to make money, right? In the end, it better be making money, right? Look, even this show. You know, I'm an employee of Premier, and they treat me wonderfully. I know I like to complain about the suits, but I really do. They are amazing to me. They never lecture me. They never tell me to stop saying things or being inappropriate. They just let me get away with whatever. But this show is to make money. It's not a charity. And if it stops making money, then you'll stop hearing the sultry sounds of my voice on the radio. Why didn't that apply to CBS? Forever. Show lost $40 million a year because the CBS bosses went along with everything, agreed with the hardcore left-wing stance. Now, let's pause on all this for a moment. I want you to rewind, or maybe if you're young enough, you don't have to rewind at all. I want you to rewind back to high school. Do you remember high school? Everyone remembers high school. You remember your high school times. Maybe they were wonderful times for you. Maybe they were terrible times for you. I don't know, but let me ask you something. Do you remember the feeling? Maybe you were part of the in crowd. Do you remember how good that felt? Or maybe on the flip side of this, maybe you weren't in the in crowd. Maybe you were an outcast for one reason or another, awkward or dark or whatever. Maybe you weren't part of the cool kids club. Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember what it meant to you back then if you could be part of the cool kids club? Look at that group of guys and girls. All the pretty girls are in there. There's a bunch of athletes and other cool kids in that group. The 20 of them, they're all gathered around. They're all talking about what kind of fun things they're going to do together this weekend. Oh, look how pretty that girl is. If I was part of that group, I could talk to her. Instead, she doesn't even know I exist. Young girls thinking the same way. Now, could you put a monetary value on what it would have meant to you back then to be part of the in group? Hard to put a monetary value on it, isn't it? And here's why. This is a human nature thing. It's not a high school thing. Being accepted by our peers, loved by our peers, is something that human beings naturally seek out. They want to be part of the in crowd. They want to be part of the group. They want to be accepted. And probably more important than that, they don't want to be rejected. To be rejected by society, to be rejected by a group, by the cool kids in your school, by the people in your neighborhood, by the Facebook moms, by the this, and the, to be rejected, to be an outcast, crushes people's psyche. It crushes people. It does things inside of people's brains. It does things inside of people's bodies that you can't even quantify. It is a human thing to be petrified of rejection, of being one of the outcasts, one of the dorks, one of the losers, one of the whatever. And by the way, if you're a kid listening right now and that's how you feel, like, trust me, high school doesn't last forever. You'll move on. You'll be just fine. You're going to be just fine. So don't let it get you down. But back to what we were talking about. Human beings want to be accepted. It becomes more important than money at some point in time. I'll finish my point about what happened with the legacy media and why it happened, and then we'll finally get to dark money, which I promised you about. Let me first talk to you about our dogs. You know what Ob said today? It was embarrassing. I was sitting there in my recliner trying to have a cup of coffee, trying to browse through the news. And she said, "Jesse, look at us." And I turned and she was laying on the floor with that big fluffy idiot, Fred. And she was basically, she disappears inside of the moron's fur and he's just laying there loving on her. And you know what she says to me? "Jesse, he's already 5. She loves him so much. We all do. You're already thinking about what's that day going to feel like when we have to put him down. It's horrible. It's going to be horrible. We sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food because we want to push that day off as far as we possibly can. The differences, the physical differences we've seen in him tell us all we need to know about the level of nutrition he now receives. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. It's brown because it's dead. Start sprinkling rough greens on it and keep your dog alive and healthier. You're at the vet less. You want a free Jumpstart trial bag? 214-ROUGHDOG, promo code Jesse. Or go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, terrific Thursday. We're kind of answering a long question right now before we get into some dark money stuff. I might be calling for a new law, which makes me just feel icky in general. I'm not sure about that. But before we get to new laws and Democrats being rejected by young men and things like that, I want to go back to this answer. The guy asked, can you explain why the legacy media continues to be a propaganda outlet for the left? And before we went into the break, I was explaining the human desire, the very human desire we all have for acceptance. We don't want to be an outcast. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want the feeling of being a loser. We want to be accepted to such a degree, it's almost hard to put a monetary value on it. It's just human nature. Now, take that, put that in your back pocket for a moment. The legacy media. Here's what we're going to make this. Here's what we're going to do here. I want you to picture one corporation, one major corporation. We'll call this Jesse Kelly's Cheeseburgers, Inc. Jesse Kelly Burgers, Inc. is the name of this corporation. And we have one headquarters right here in Houston, Texas. It's a 20-floor building. Of course, I'm going to be in the penthouse, whatever that is, as the CEO of Jesse Kelly headquarters, but this is a large multinational company. So we have vice presidents of this and vice presidents of that and managers here and sales there. And okay, so there's a lot of employees. Let's call it 1,000 employees. All these different managers. Now, let's say me, Jesse Kelly, what I want as a company, what I want is purely money. I am only interested in making money and cost savings. I don't care. I don't place any kind of a priority on customer service. I'm not even really caring about the quality of the burgers or anything else. I care about the bottom line, only the bottom line, and today's bottom line. What kind of vice presidents am I going to hire? I'm going to hire vice presidents. I'm going to hire managers who believe the exact same thing I do because I'm the boss. That's what I want. That's who I hire. What's going to happen after I fill up my company with managers like that? That mentality, that way of thinking will begin to bleed down into every floor. I said there are 20 floors. That mentality started out on floor number 20, then it went down to 19 and 18, and it's working its way down and down and down. And guess what else? While that mentality is working its way down, we're hiring more people who only care about money. And what else are we doing? We're getting rid of anybody who has any other thoughts on the matter. Hey, Jesse, I know we could save a penny a burger bun if we go with a worse bun, but I kind of think people would like a quality burger one with the burger. Get out. You're fired. No, the penny's all that matters. If that's the philosophy of Jesse Kelly Burger, Inc., then after a long enough period of time, every part of the company will carry that mentality. People who don't carry that mentality will be purged, and that is how the company will operate. Now, let's switch it up. If I decide I want our company to be charitable, and I want our people to be charitable, yeah, we want to make great burgers, we want to make money, of course, but giving back in some way is a priority for me. I'm going to hire VPs, managers, who is a priority for them. No, Jesse, I'd like to help sick kids. No, I'd like to do the, okay. They will in turn hire people under them. And that mentality will bleed down from the 20th floor all the way to the bottom. And just like before, people who don't share that, no, Jesse, screw charity. I don't even care about sick kids, just money. Gone, fired, bye. Mentality, a lifestyle, a mission. These things can be guided and these things can change over time. What happened with the legacy media? Well, journalists are naturally going to have a more leftist bend, at least a little bit of a leftist bend anyway. It's just the nature of the field. But what happened was committed communists began to leave our top universities, having been trained at our top universities, and they began to go into the media world. On top of that, Democrat operatives and former Democrat politicians, when they're done with politics or taking a break from politics, go into the media world. And if you think about the legacy media as that one 20-floor building, that skyscraper, after a long enough time, they worked their way up the floors, and soon you've got the head of companies like CBS not caring if his late night comedy superstar alienates half the country because he feels the exact same way. Go ahead and lose $40 million a year. It doesn't matter. Getting Trump is all that matters. And once that becomes the mentality, the mission of the company, just like in Jesse Kelly Burger Inc., it bleeds down to the other floors where if you're an executive producer on this show or you're an intern on this show, you understand, get Trump, protect Democrats, smash Republicans is the only mission statement you need to adhere to. Even if you don't necessarily believe that, you know you better shut up and lie or you're going to be out of a job because you've watched it happen to others. Anyone who uttered even a little bit of a positive word about Republicans or someone on the right, boop, gone, fired. And so just like has happened in the rest of the Democrat Party, actually, which we're going to get to in a minute when we talk about the dark money stuff, but just like has happened to the rest of the Democrat Party, if that mentality stays inside of the media for long enough, and it did, after a long enough period of time, you will find that you have purged anyone who was a dissenting voice, anyone who might have put a check on your communist activism. They were all fired. They all quit. They were all laid off. Now, it feels good when you walk into the building because everyone thinks like you. Everyone's a dirty communist. Everyone's on board with the mission. Everyone's on board. Just get Trump. Ah! Everybody's signed on. After a long enough period of time, you got everyone buying in. But this is what communism does, you see. The building is dying. You purged everything that was good and right. You can't reform now because all the reformers were fired or quit. And now the building's dying. The company is dying. The legacy media in its traditional form, the New York Times is of the world, the NBC News is of the world, they're dying. They're dying because they allowed themselves to be completely captured by communists. You don't want to buck anything because this goes back to the high school analogy. You want to fit in. That's what the boss thinks. That's what my coworker thinks. That. You want to be part of the in crowd. To be part of the in crowd with major media companies, you better be a dirty America-hating commie. And so now they're completely ideologically captured. Americans are changing the channel. They're not trusted anymore. The ratings are in the toilet. The money is evaporating before their eyes. And yet they couldn't change right now, even if they wanted to, because anyone who might have put the brakes on, you ran them out a long time ago. It's what the communists do. They conquer things that are good and they destroy them. Whole nations, small companies, entire industries. This will bring us directly to the Democrat Party and dark money and other things, but let's talk about bright money. Let's talk about gold or silver. I'm not a huge jewelry guy, as you can probably tell, but I am a huge reliability guy. I want reliability. It's one of my favorite things in life. Unreliable people get purged from my life. Reliability. It's one of the few good things I can say about Chris and Corey. They're here on time doing the job every single day. Reliability. Underrated. even though Chris's hair is horrible. That's what gold and silver is. It's reliable. No matter what, the gold I own, the silver I own, will outlast my kids' kids' kids. It will outlast the United States of America. Does that sound like something reliable? Get some in your 401k, please. Not all of it, of course. I don't want you to do anything crazy. Make sure your retirement doesn't get completely blown up when the market does what we all know it's going to do. Goldco will handle it for you. They've helped thousands of Americans. Over $3 billion in gold and silver they've placed. 855-817-GOLD or JesseLikesGold.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So that all brings me to ideologically captured Democrat Party and one of the ways in which that happened. You see, here, this is from LifeZet. Voters reject Democrat extremism, say the party has gone off the rails. And of course, I don't have to explain that to you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The second you come out and say dudes should be allowed to beat up women in sports, you're kind of the party of evil freaks. And it's such an obvious point. They'll take the 20% on an 80-20 issue time after time after time. But how and why? Through a hard effort. To be honest, what they've done should be a model for us on the right who want a stronger GOP that takes better stances on things. They decided the Democrat Party wasn't near left enough. And when I say they, I mean the street animals, Communist China, the global communist network. They decided the Democrat Party could be a useful vehicle for communism, but it had to move to the left. One of the main ways they did that was, this is going to be me about to call for a new law, even though I'm not going to quite go there. The NGO/nonprofit network. Here's a headline from the Free Beacon. Left-wing Hewlett Foundation bankrolled Gavin Newsom's trip to China. That's interesting, isn't it? A left-wing organization ponied up big money to pay for Gavin Newsom's trip to China. What are they known as? They are, quote, a progressive grant-making organization with a history of supporting Chinese Communist Party-affiliated green energy initiatives. Who funds it? Oh, we don't know. You can guess, maybe come up with some names, but communism is funded, and they use the funds as this ugly, dark money monster, for lack of a better way to put it. They have built for themselves an international, not just national, an international dark money monster of this nonprofit and that nonprofit. Only this nonprofit works with this thing. This nonprofit, it only gives money to other nonprofits. It's an NGO. It gets government grants. Let's give a government grant to them. Let's give a government grant to this. And you have any idea how many experts I have talked to who write books about these NGOs, who write books about all these nonprofits? And when we get to the point of me asking them, okay, well, where's the money actually come from? Whose money is it? The experts in the field who have dug through all the documentation, they've put in all the FOIA requests, will oftentimes tell me, Jesse, we don't know. Why don't we know? Well, here's the thing. If you structure an organization the right way, you don't have to disclose your donors. You don't have to disclose the funding source. You can put in all the requests you like, but the law says You can just run your communist group. Granted, it's not supposed to be openly communist, but you can just run your communist group with billions and billions of dollars, and you don't have to tell anybody where it comes from. Remember that story from yesterday about the pop-up NGO that put on that huge concert for the LA wildfires, raised $100 million for the wildfires, and just took off with the money? Not a penny went to the wildfires? Not a penny went to rebuilding? Instead, it all got sent out to other communist NGOs and front groups. Here in the United States of America, there is a vast network of communist nonprofits slash NGOs, and they operate with billions and billions and billions of dollars, billions of government dollars, meaning your dollars, handed out to them by evil Democrats who hand them government grants. They have international money, billions. How many foreign billionaires are there who still hate America and try to destroy Western civilization? They pour money into these groups. So what I'm about to say is not me calling for a law, because I don't think I've ever said that, and I'm not saying for that now. I do not believe a Congress this sick, corrupt, and evil can create good laws, so I'm not necessarily calling for a law. But something has to be done about the vast communist network of nonprofits and NGOs operating in this country. They have an NGO that works for other NGOs, which is an offshoot of this NGO, which has billions from somewhere. We don't know. I guess they kind of got a government grant at some point. They spent it on I don't know what. Remember that story about Stacey Abrams? The Biden administration just handing her ridiculous nonprofit billions of dollars on the way out. Oh, we lost. Here's a big check, Stacey. Something has to be done to rein this in, because we are being, in many different ways, attacked from within. Not just government institutions like the FBI, CIA, which should be completely defunded and disbanded immediately. Not just from government institutions. From all these quasi-government institutions that operate and do the things the government institutions want to do but can't do by law. So instead, they just come up with a grant, come up with a, I love this term, a forgivable loan. That means it's not a loan. Okay, that's a gift. A forgivable loan. I love that concept. We just gave this non-government organization, it's Catholic, so of course they must love Jesus. We just gave them $50 billion to help refugees. Instead, it's an open borders network bringing illegals into the country so they can rape and pillage Americans. The network is vast. From my understanding, from my sources, the Trump administration is very much aware of it, but it is a problem that must be tackled. Now, let's try to tackle a whole different problem, if we can. Trump signed an executive order on AI. This AI stuff is beyond me, but it's something we have to discuss. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.